the Ari Miklot, the cities of refuge, which somebody who had killed somebody else, either unintentionally, in which case they could stay safe in the Ir Miklot, in the city of refuge, and be protected from any angry family members, or even if somebody killed someone intentionally, or they were alleged to have killed someone intentionally, they'd be allowed to run to the Ir Miklot, to the city of refuge, and stay there until their case was adjudicated and it was determined that they did in fact kill intentionally. So the Ir Miklot is a city of refuge for the killer to go. Now, the Ir Miklot gets comparatively a great deal of airtime in the Torah. We first meet the Ir Miklot, the city of refuge, in Parshas Mishpatim, and then it comes up again in Parshas Matis Maaseh. Particularly in the summer months, we see it a lot. We see it in Parshas Matis Maaseh. We see the Ir Miklot, or the Ari Miklot, in Parshas Vaschanon, and then we meet them again in Parshas Shoftim. Now, as should be familiar to anybody who studies the Rebbe's Torah, particularly in Likutei Sichas, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's methodological approach to all the things in the Torah, be they the stories in the Torah or the laws in the Torah, is to extract the spiritual significance and the contemporary lessons of every detail of Torah. Nowadays, there are no Ari Miklot. One day, when the Jewish people will run a Torah-based state, a Torah-based political entity, we'll have Ari Miklot again. But until that point, there are no Ari Miklot. So the Rebbe is looking to understand, where do Ari Miklot, where do cities of refuge live by us in Ruchnius? Where can we find an Ir Miklot in our daily experience? In this year, we're going to explore a sicha which is printed in Likutei Sichas Chelik Beis Parshas Vaschanon. It's actually a sicha from the year 1952, which was originally said on Shabbos Parshas Matis Maaseh, but it's actually good groundwork for a lot of the Rebbe's discussion on the Ari Miklot, which comes up throughout his discussions on Sefer Dvarim, given the frequency of Ari Miklot. In this year, we're going to explore the Yiddish text as it appears in the Likutei Sichas Chelik Beis, starting on page 363. The Rebbe writes, in Heintige Sedra state, Oz Yavdil Moshe Sholish Ari, V'goymer Lono Shomer Tzeach, V'goymer Vizdos is their Inyan Fon Ari Miklat. This week's parasha, it says, then Moshe will separate three cities in order that somebody who kills will be able to flee there. That discusses the idea of the cities of refuge. Die Wegen, welche Pflegen führen zu die Ari Miklot, seien gewähnt Drachim mitukonen. Sie seien gewähnt Breit 32 Elin, und auf jeder Parche Drachim ist gewähnt ein Schild. Miklot, Miklot. Wichtig zu weisen die Weg, was führt zu die Ari Miklot. So Gemara, Bava Basra, Daf Kofa, Beis, and this is also brought in the Rambam in Perek Ches of Hilchos Ritzeach Shmiras Nefesh, and it's also based on Gemara and Makis and the Medrash of Midbar Rabba and Tanchuma, tells us that the Ari Miklot had well kept roads going to them. There would be well kept highways leading to the Ari Miklot, to these cities of refuge, and at every intersection on the highways, there would be signs which said, Miklot, Miklot, refuge, refuge. The point being that the Ari Miklot were meant to be very accessible. You were supposed to be able to get to the Ir Miklot if you were a murderer or if you'd killed somebody. It wasn't meant to be some esoteric place. Rather, it was meant to be accessible for anyone. The Bald, as this is given as in Gashmias, since that's how it was in the physical reality, meaning that's how the physical mitzvah played out, is verstandig, so we can understand, as euch in the ruchniestik Ari Miklot, so too in the spiritual city of refuge, was das sein in divrei Torah, which corresponds to the words of Torah. Via state, as we learn in Maseches Makos, in the discussion of the Ir Miklot, divrei kolt Torah kolten, the words of Torah are a refuge. So the miruchni is dikin hayig nefesh for somebody who kills zayin feran di aleprotin. All of these details, which are true of the physical Ir Miklot, are going to pertain to the spiritual Ir Miklot. So the Rebbe invoke this concept of the spiritual murderer what does it mean to spiritually murder? So the Alter Rebbe in Sefer Lakutei Torah on Sefer Amidbar, in the Maimer referring to Shavuos, and there in the Yud Gimel, Amid Gimel, discusses a pasuk in Parshas Noach, which says, Shoifech dam ha'odam ba'odam damoy yishofech. Somebody who spills the blood of man within man, his blood shall be spilled. So the Alter Rebbe explains, the Rebbe expands on this topic, that the idea is that somebody who spills the blood of man within man refers to two aspects that exist within every human. Based on the Zohar, there is the Adam, the Kedusha within each of us, there's the holy human, and there's the Adam, the Belial, the evil human, the human that lacks the yoke of heaven. The idea being that there's something of a duality within our human consciousness. You could think of it as an inner Jekyll and Hyde. There's the inner good self and the inner bad self. And sometimes our good self comes out, sometimes our bad self comes out. And the point being that your wicked side, your evil self, will often be injurious to your positive self. It'll often try to kill your positive self. And depending on who you are, it's quite possible that your negative self will express itself more often than does your positive self. And in a sense, your negative self is murdering, is killing your positive self. So if you want to escape from that negative self, if you want to seek refuge from a negative self, you want to elevate yourself above that negative self. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Makis, Divrei Torah Koltos, the words of Torah are a city of refuge. Meaning, by studying Torah, you're able to escape from the Goyel Hadam, the avenger of the blood, who wants to come and kill you, metaphorically, for having gone in a negative path. Now, in Ois Beis and Ois Gimel, the Rebbe is going to go on something of an interesting tangent. And the general thrust of the discussion is going to be discussing the dichotomy between physicality and spirituality, and how it is that spiritual ideas manifest themselves within physical ideas. Which was primary? Is it the spiritual idea or is it the physical idea? So let's see how the Rebbe develops this point. Be'emes is far keret. Really, the Rebbe says it's just the opposite. It's not just because things are such in the physical reality that they represent themselves thusly in spiritual reality. It's just the opposite. The physical reality is such because that's how the spiritual reality is. Nit vayel der inyan is faran gashmias, der far is der inyan do in ruchnias. It's not because something is such in physicality that's why it manifests thusly in spirituality. Ner other abad is the opposite. Their ikar inyan is in ruchnias. What's primary is the spiritual, the metaphysical reality. But since things are such in the spiritual reality, it manifests as well within the physical reality. As Zavius there clarified in Shalom, like the Shalom clarifies, on the teaching that the Torah speaks of the lower realms but hints to the higher realms, is Torah medaberes be'elyonim. Nor mir nemen dem remes vasishayatz v'tachtenim. Fundamentally speaking, Torah refers to a higher spiritual reality. Just we read Torah as it pertains to our reality. Unazoi vi thus is an al inyanim in Torah. And just as this is true of all matters of Torah, azay zay chtenim v'nori miklat. So too is the idea of the cities of refuge. As di al prote inyanim. That all the details which are true, the physical city of refuge, they are also true of the spiritual city of refuge. And moreover, what's primary, what ultimately matters, what matters more, is how things exist, spiritually speaking, than physically speaking. But as reality evolves, these spiritual ideas manifest themselves within the physical world. So interestingly, what the Rebbe is telling us here is that the story of where the Ari Miklat were physically located 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, is a fascinating historical event. But what matters more for our purposes is, what's the spiritual significance? What lesson can we take from the Ari Miklat, and can we live by now within our own lives? Now, in Eis Gimel, the Rebbe tells an interesting story to illustrate this point of how it is the physical world just expresses the spiritual world. The Rebbe tells a story that in the year 1894 or 95, somewhere in that range, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Lubavitch, was sitting down for a meal. And the Rebbe Rashab's younger brother, Mendel, who was a businessman, was extremely excited because he saw that, perhaps in some newspaper, some periodical, or he heard about it, that the late 19th century doctors, because once again we're talking in the late 19th century, so the late 19th century doctors had discovered some physical feature of the brain which they thought accounted for the fact that when one puts one's head down, they're able to focus more intensively, and when one raises one's head, that aids in memory. So the Rebbe Rashab didn't say anything until after benching, because the Rebbe Rashab was very makpid not to interrupt in the middle of his suda. But after benching, he told his brother Mendel, wait a moment. And the Rebbe Rashab went into his room, and he looked around for a sefer of the Mittler Rebbe, for a manuscript of the Mittler Rebbe, the second Rebbe of Chabad. And the Mittler Rebbe had passed away around 70 years earlier, in the year 827. And the Mittler Rebbe discusses there, in that manuscript, this physiological phenomenon of how it is when one raises one's head, one is better able to remember things, and when lowers one's head, one is able to think more deeply. Now, generally speaking, the Mittler Rebbe's writings, the second Rebbe of Chabad, are filled with a lot of speculation and symbolism in the realm of medicine and philosophy. So the Rebbe Rashab's younger brother, Mendel, said to him, so does that mean if the Mittler Rebbe discussed this concept already 70 years prior to the medical discovery, does that mean that the Mittler Rebbe, the second Rebbe of Chabad, was a great medical professional? So Rebbe Rashab said, no. The Mittler Rebbe was somebody who lived in a higher spiritual realm. He was connected to a higher spiritual realm. So he saw truths as they were manifested in the higher spiritual realm. And as a result, he had access to truths that scientifically we would only find out later. The point being, the upshot of the story, is that spirituality or the spiritual realms are ultimately primary relative to the physical realm. And somebody who's more involved in spiritual pursuits will have access to higher truths. And then in our discussion, the point is to demonstrate the primacy of the spiritual meaning of the City of Refuge, or the Eir Miklat, over the physical Eir Miklat, over the physical City of Refuge. So returning to the text, on page 365 in Eis Dalid, the Rebbe writes, Azoiv in Gashmius, just as it is in the physical reality, Flegendach, the Ari Miklat, Helfin, Nit Nor, Ahurig Nefesh B'Shoikik, the City of Refuge would not only help somebody who killed unintentionally, but they would also be of help to somebody who killed intentionally, given that even somebody who kills intentionally is allowed to flee to the City of Refuge until the rabbinic court makes the relevant investigation and inquiry, in order that the blood avenger, in order that the angry relatives of the person that this murderer killed will not go and execute vigilante justice. So just as that's the case within the physical Eir Miklat, so too is it true of the spiritual City of Refuge. The words of Torah also serve as a refuge for somebody who intentionally kills their soul. Doseis, meaning to say, an oiver aveir b'mezit, somebody who transgresses sins intentionally. On azoiv in gashmius is oiser dem vas di vegin vas flegin firin su di ari miklat zan given drachem etu konim umbreit di vegin. And just as, physically speaking, on the roads to the City of Refuge, you need to have well-developed, wide highways which are well-maintained, Kidei as the yoritzeach zol loifin gring. So the Ari Miklot, in order that the murderer will be able to easily and quickly run to the city of refuge, is if yet the precious drachim aich giveh a shield. Similarly, at every crossroads there was a sign, ayutzuvayz niveg vun zol loifin, which would show this killer the way in which to run. Verum dos alein vas niveg is a derech betukar rechov is veinik. The fact that the road is a very well-maintained and wide road is insufficient. If he doesn't know where to run, so it is as well in the spiritual reality when it comes to our spiritual city of refuge. As oyser then was the vegs of the vetera is a green gun of bread to veg based on their abishir in velachazayt sugain. So although it's the case that the path to Torah is an easy and wide road upon which to travel, nonetheless Hashem shows us which way to go. V'ru mitzad bechir chofshis v'asiz gegeben gevarin, because as a result of our free will, which is given to us, v'yishteit, as it tells in Sefer Dvarim, re'ein osati lefanachayim v'sachayim v'satoit v'samav v'sara. Hashem says, see, I have given before you today life and good, death and evil. Is oibim v'atim nit unweisen die veg, if Hashem does not show us the way, in their linker's eye, it's possible that you might travel on the left lane. You might choose evil and death. Therefore, Hashem proverbially stands with a sign and tells us, miklot, miklot, refuge, refuge. The Eibishter Hashem warns us, Erzol gain in the rechter zeit. We should go in the right lane. V'yeshteit, as the Torah tells, v'chartu v'chaim, you should choose life. V'as das is a kodesh baruch hu oyuzrei. And that's the idea of Hashem helping us out. Meaning to say that the Mishnah tells us, v'chol yoyim baskol machrezes me'erachoyiv. Every day there's a echo. There's a divine voice calling out from Har Sinai, telling us to behave, telling us to follow the Torah, telling us to do tshuva. And the point is that we need to listen to this inner voice. We need to listen to the inspiration of the Ruach HaKodesh, of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. Hashem is constantly guiding us on the way we need to go. We just need to listen to that spirit. We need to listen to that voice. Mitzad Bechir Chofshis, in the perspective of free will, Vasmalat Kegeben Yedmein, which is given to everyone. As Erkan Oiskleben Chas Hashalom, Oich Demra, you can also choose the evil. So as a result, everybody is reliant on the help from above. They're Abish Rizalm Zagin. We need Hashem to tell us. Miklat Miklat, refuge, refuge. Gain them veg vasfir tsu chayim v'toyiv. Walk along the path which will lead to life and goodness. Varu. Afilu Rabin Yichnim ben Zakai. Because even a tzaddik like Rav Yechon ben Zakkai tells us in Maseches Brachos Daf Chof Chesam and Beis, Eineni Yodea Be'eze Derech Me'lichinasi. I don't know what path I am going to be led on. And he's saying this on his deathbed, I do not know whether I'll be going to Gan Eden or to Gehenna. I don't know whether I'll be going to heaven or hell. And the idea being, if Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who we all know was such a righteous man, could say, I don't know whether I'm going to heaven or hell, how much more so is it true of us that we don't know whether we're going to heaven or hell? And this is not only true at the end of our life, but every day, in every moment, we have the opportunity to choose whether we'll walk along the path to a life which is heaven on earth, or whether we'll walk upon a path which is hell on earth, or which will at least lead us to hell on earth. How much more so? Diva Zainin Azman from Choshech Kafel Mekufel. Those who are situated in a historical time period of spiritual darkness, and the Sikha was said in 1952, and the Rebbe is implying that 1952 was a time of spiritual darkness, and presumably the same would apply in 2021. We certainly do not know upon which path we are walking. As a result, they must necessarily rely on divine assistance. That Hashem will tell them where to go. So now the Rebbe asks, where do you get the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Where are you zeicha? Where do you merit for Hashem to show you what path to walk upon? So there's a famous Maamar Chazal discussed at length in Masech HaSaita of the inyan of mida keneged mida, that the way Hashem acts with us is in a manner of measure for measure. Now here, the Rebbe is going to transition to an ideology of shlichus, to discussing the underpinnings of the idea of going out to a place and spreading Judaism in that place, or spreading Judaism to the Jews who are present in that place. Now, while Chabad is perhaps most often known for sending out couples, sending out families to go to faraway places, be it Wyoming, Montana, Bondi Beach, Australia, Shanghai, Beijing, even before the concept of Chabad houses, of sending out whole families, was popularized and became a major thrust of the Chabad movement in America, there was a concept called Merkez Shlichus. Merkez Shlichus is just as alive in the year 2021 as it was in the 1940s and the 1950s, and Adrab, it's expanded much more than it had been at that time. But the idea of Merkez Shlichus is and was that a bunch of Bachrim from Yeshiva, maybe two, maybe four, maybe six, but a bunch of Bachrim from Yeshiva would go to some far out place and try to meet Jews there. Now, in some respects, this idea of Merkez Shlichus has changed a lot since the 1950s, or the dynamics of Merkez Shlichus has changed a lot since the 1950s. And in some respects, it's still very much the same in the year 2021. But the idea is, you send Bachrim to some place, and hopefully they'll meet Jews there. I can say from personal experience that going on Merkez Shlichus to the strangest and most exotic of places will almost automatically net you Jews. And not only will it net you Jews, but you'll meet Jews, if you try hard enough, who, or advertise yourself well enough, who came from the most Jewish of Jewish communities. Several years ago, a friend and I traveled on Merkez Shlichus to the city of Lubbock, Texas. You may have never heard of Lubbock. It's 5.5 hours from any established Jewish community, and even 5.5 hours from any Chabad house, at least at the time we traveled in the year 2018. Just to give a frame of reference, Dallas is something of a Jewish community. Lubbock is a 5.5 hour drive away from Dallas. There's pretty much nothing going on there. Even the Reform rabbi at the time would fly in once every 2 weeks, and would even postpone Jewish holidays in order to fit with her flight schedule. Now, on our journey to Lubbock, we met plenty of Jews. We met this man who was 80 years old, who'd grown up frum in New Jersey. He grew up religious in New Jersey, went to Torah day school, and as time went on, he became farther and farther from Judaism, and he moved out to Lubbock, and or not even to Lubbock, to a place 2 hours away from Lubbock, an even farther place. And we were his first Jewish contact outside of his family in a number of decades. Put on tefillin with him for the first time in a number of decades, and he was reconnected to his Jewish roots. We even met somebody who had once studied at Yeshiva University, who had left his Jewish practice behind. And he too was thrilled to be reconnected with his Jewish roots. And anywhere you travel, you'll meet people who are disconnected from the Jewish roots. But not only people whose families left 2 generations and 3 generations ago. You'll meet people, unfortunately, who were in Jewish communities all around the world, who were, say, grew up in Yerushalayim, grew up in Beit Shemesh, grew up in Brooklyn, grew up in Teaneck. They grew up going to Jewish day school, Jewish high school. They might have even gone for a year in Israel. They might have studied at Yeshiva University. But for one reason or another, they left the Jewish community and they left Jewish life. And just as this was true in the 40s and the 50s, this is just as true in 2021. And yet, when young Chabad people come and travel to these cities, very often these people who had left their Judaism, and even left Judaism in anger, are inspired to reconnect. Perhaps you're not going to become religious again. Perhaps you're not going to become normatively religious again. But they are inspired to reconnect with their Judaism. So that's a articulation of the phenomenon of Merkez Shlichus. But now the Rebbe is going to show us how this idea of Merkez Shlichus is connected with the idea of the signs miklat miklat, the signs which signpost and say refuge, refuge. And if we want Hashem to show us the path to refuge, the Rebbe says, we have to be the character in others' lives who shows them the way to the path of refuge. Now, the Rebbe primarily in this sicha will be focusing on the idea of Merker Shlichus and being a Merker Shliach, and how you should go out to all sorts of places and you should be the signpost in the direction of Torah for other Jews who have lost their way. But you don't have to get as exotic as Lubbock, Texas. First of all, if you're inclined to do this, you go and stand in Union Square and ask people if they're Jewish, and if they are, invite them to engage in putting on tefillin or giving them Shabbos candles. But even more simply, wherever a person is, there's always going to be signposting to do, both in the way that you live your life. Are you a signpost? Are you a person who manifests Torah ideals? Are you a person who manifests divine ideals? And second, not just by being who you are, but coming into relationships with others and helping them find their path towards divine ideals. So the Rebbe continues. Men muzla reiski neif de parshas drachim, vo eshten yidin, unvesen neit in velicher zayt zugein. We need to go and stand at the proverbial or literal crossroads where Jewish people are standing. And they're considering where to go. They don't know where to go. We need to go to them and cry out, miklot, miklot, refuge, refuge. And as the Rebbe clarifies elsewhere, it doesn't mean that you should be pushy. It doesn't mean you should get in people's face in a negative way. But nonetheless, you need to share the message. We tell them, go in the right lane, which leads you to the place of refuge. Dartin is a miklot from them goyel adam. There you will find your refuge from the blood avenger, from them Satan versus Yehudimast in Oilam Makatrig. You'll find your refuge from Satan, from the Yetzer Hara, the metaphysical force who comes and tempts you to leave the good path. And then, once you've been tempted to leave the good path, he makes your life more difficult and destroys you. And the Torah saves us from this entity. Geit nit chas v'shalom in their linker zeit. Don't, God forbid, travel on the left lane, v'sfirt in shoyl v'avodin, which will ultimately lead you to hell and destruction. Undas is an oif gabe v'slikt oif yedin einim. This is an obligation for everyone. Avekshel zeich oif ha'parshas drachim. When you go out onto the crossroads and shrine and cry out, miklot miklot, refuge, refs, refuge. Weisen die Weg, wohin man darf gehen. We need to show them the way, where to go. On a gam as durch them, that they're sich gefinnen die ganze Zeit auf in Parshas Drachim. And although it's the case that when you're doing this, you'll be on the crossroads, you'll be, say, at Times Square or Union Square or some ungodly place like a college campus. In an ort, was dort in is da Weg, was fiert euch in der linker Zeit. In a place where there's a highway to hell, you shouldn't be impacted. You shouldn't be intimidated. Because by standing in that place, by standing at the crossroads between heaven and hell, you're doing your mission. You're doing your job. And this is consistent with the teaching of Rav Mordechai HaTzadik, one of the great 17th century Jewish mystics, to the Baal Shem Tov. Or as the Baal Shem Tov would relate, he said, "As kum tarop a neshama yifter velt, a neshama, Jewish soul, might enter the world when left up zibitzig achtik yar and live for 70-80 years, so libtona yidin atoiva begashmius ufrat biruchnis, in order to do another Jew some favor, whether pertaining to some physical matter or more specifically some spiritual matter. Is doch kedai shtein." And therefore, it's worthwhile to stand for a significant period of time on the crossroads in order to show just one Jew the way to the Torah, the way to the place of refuge. And as a result of you endeavoring to show others the way to life and goodness, Hashem will show you the path to life and goodness. When you stand at the crossroads, and you stand like a sign, a signpost, when shrine and you cry out, miklot, miklot, refuge, refuge. Erveis nitziyena vetim folgin. You don't know if anybody will listen to you. Erveis gorafilu nitzi emetzer heret in gansin vasaret. You have no idea if anyone even hears what you're saying. Erzet garnit gain can mention. You don't see anyone going by. Fundest vegin. Is dosim nitnegea. That doesn't impact you. Eriz Ashield Vashtefif and Varshad Rachim. You are a signpost who stands upon the crossroads. Unvais Tiveg to Miklat. And you're there to show the path towards the Miklat, towards the city of refuge. Diveg was Dortin is a Miklat Fitzara, the place which is a refuge from the evil inclination, a Miklat from Satan, a refuge from the Satan. The point here being, the Rebbe says, you don't necessarily have to think about impact, but you need to signpost. And this explains why it's the case that many Bachrim will go out in America Shlichis, or there are many Shluchim who will go to far places. And they'll seemingly meet no one, or they'll meet no one for a long time. But then some will come by. And the fact that they were there will have been very important. So although it's possible that you might have accomplished nothing by standing at the crossroads, but since you've done your task, your mission, you stood by the crossroads, and you showed Jews the path towards refuge. Therefore, Hashem will show you the path of choosing life. Although it's the case that you're a person who's in the process of becoming a servant of Hashem, but not somebody who's yet a servant of Hashem. Does heis, meaning to say, as a halt and mitten there, avoid the mirhot noche yitzara. You're still in the midst of the path, and you're still struggling with your evil inclination. Un nit nor as durch der zeit, hat nit gepeult mit seiner avoidah, kin aufschwachen yitzara. Un is bayim kathodase. And not only is it the case that over time you haven't weakened the Yetzer Hara, just as it always was. No, other Abba, moreover, as noch starker geworden, but your Yetzer Hara has gotten stronger as time has gone on. Durch der Zeit was nishtamish beharbe b'achil ushtiyah chule. Like the Alter Rebbe says, the more we live, the more we eat and drink, and engage in other consuming physical activities, the stronger our Yetzer Hara gets. And from the perspective of the evil inclination, you can choose evil and death. So Hashem shows you the path to life and goodness. Meaning, although it's the case that you are very stuck with your Yetzer Hara, Hashem shows you the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizer Le'eshim Mishevti Nafshei. Hashem helps you out to save you from the judges of your soul, to save you from your inner struggle and conflict between good and evil. Chakmuch Admer, the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth of Lubavitch, Hatamol Gezocht, he once said, "As the nafkemine from the Baal Shem Tov mitigdoilim nigla l'teira v'zayin given demot." That the critical distinction between the Baal Shem Tov and the other gedolim who lived in the early 1700 was is thus was by the gedolim from nigla l'teira. By the great scholars of the revealed portions of Torah, as in the great scholars of Gemara, is given their Seder. The general order was, the general way things went, was Meflech Kumin Suzei Lernin. You'd have to go to them in order to learn. Dakegen, in contrast, the Bereshentav and Zen Talmidim, Flechdeep Vaitin, as Menzel Kumin Suzei, the Baal Shem Tov and his disciples did not wait until people would come to learn from them. Nor they flegen foreign shtet mishavim v'yidn gifinitzich. But they would have the practice to travel to the cities and colonies in which Jews were. The Rebbe mentions a teaching from the Friedrich Rebbe, which says that chassidus is like fire, and nigla, the revealed portions of the Torah, the Gemara, is more like water. And fire has its ability to heat things up, to warm things up. So that was the general avoda of the Baal Shem Tov. Una zoi vi di nafke mina from the gedolei nigla l'teira on the Baal Shem Tov. And just like there was a distinction between the great scholars of the Talmud and the Baal Shem Tov, azoi is in them inyan from Ari Miklat. So it is when it comes to the cities of refuge. Vos menot firgeret. For an achiluk There's a difference in the way that the spiritual symbolism or the spiritual idea of the city of refuge manifests according to the Talmudic way of learning Torah and according to Chassidus. Alpi Nigla, according to the revealed portion of the Torah, according to the Talmudic perspective, or more precisely, according to the exclusively Talmudic perspective, Fleg Zayin and Amud, Ashtein und das Gleich. All you need as your sign for the city of refuge is a stone or some other inanimate object. And on that you have to write refuge. That stone has to point in the direction of the city of refuge. Their amud ad nishgiret suyenim. This pillar, this signpost, didn't speak to anyone. Nor as amateur is durchgang verbay, if someone would pass by them amud, that pillar, that sign. Und sugikud zich, so them was steht auf ein amud. And they would look at what's written on the sign. Or if you can't lay in the kol apachus, and they can at least read. Hater zich der vuls, die wegen vuner darfgein. He would know the path on which he would have to travel. So it is in spirituality, or in the spiritual analog of the Amiklat. There are those who travel out of their place. And they travel to the crossroads. They travel amongst Jews who are standing at the crossroads. And they stand there. As emetzer v'etim fregin, as avas ken leinin, l'kol apachus. So if someone asks them, somebody who can at least read, proverbially, v'etim v'ayzin di v'egin miklat, they'll show them the way to the city of refuge. The point being, you can have a great Torah scholar, either in a place like New York, or in a faraway place where there aren't so many Jews, and the great Torah scholar could be there, and he could have a lot to offer. But this Torah scholar won't go out of his way to share what he has with others. If people have the education, if people have the resources to appreciate what he has to offer, then they might go to him. But he certainly will not come to them. Mesiras nefesh, other taki gepravit, vaser zareis gefarin, in a parshat drachim. He certainly has engaged in the degree of self-sacrifice by traveling out to this place, the crossroads. Aber erd sich nicht geriert von sein Ort. He hasn't truly left his own place. Is an omud oimi. He is a standing pillar. Adoimim, he's inanimate. Amo flekman zogone fazeger. Sometimes we look at a watch, we might say. Ergeta hinen zurik, the watch has hands, and the hands are going around and around. Erhalten in gain, it's going, it's progressing. Aber riet sich niet von art. But the clock always stays in the same place. Al pibir echsidis aber. But according to Chassidus, however, termin nit zain kin doimim. You can't be an inanimate object. You need to be a dynamic creature. You need to be a person who's filled with life. A lebediker mensch. A varmer mensch. A warm person. You shouldn't wait to share until you're asked. You need to be filled with life. Lebedikait, which is Yiddish for life. Unrir of derkait, mobility.
If you see that there's a Jew, you can help out a little bit. You need to run to him
and show him the way to the city of refuge.
And that's the task which the sixth Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, gave to all the students, particularly the yeshiva students. They need to go out for a few weeks of the year and cry out, Miklot, Miklot, refuge, refuge. Das ist die Weg, this is the path, which leads to life and goodness. They need to be like signs,
which show the way, and they need to be living signs.
They shouldn't be like stones, which just stand in a place.
Nor lebedeke shilden, but rather they need to be living signposts. Vas yein mit a lebedekeit, un vezen yednim einim di vegen miklot.
And show everyone the path towards the city of refuge. Shteit in the Gemara, we learn the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin of Mem Beis, when the Rambam and the Rambam Mil Chashuva bring this halacha. The Rambam brings this as a halacha, as lo ilam yira odim atzmei shakul, lo ilam shakul. a person should always see themselves and they should see the world as if it's on an equally weighted scale. They should see themselves hanging in the balance, and one small action could lead them to salvation, and one small action could lead them to destruction. Nachmer, moreover, you need to have the perspective that the world is hanging in the balance. Doseis, meaning to say, as er mit alle deiris is velen zayn nochim, un alle deiris is zayn given farim, that you and all the generations which are coming before you, and all the generations which will come after you, zayn in shkul, they're all hanging in the balance. Un in der p'ula vaservet itzter ton, and in this act which we will do at this moment, is uphengig the ganze welt. The entire world is depending. Bishas der bacher vasfart in der parshas drachim. At the time when the bacher, who's standing on the crossroads, in order to show the Jewish people the path to become close to their Father in heaven, he should have the perspective as the ganze Welt, that the entire world, all the generations which already were, and all generations which shall be, they're all hanging in the balance. And with Yeder Pulavas, as Poyel and Ayidin, and with everything that he's able to impact by another Jew, is Ermachria de Yansevelt. His action will have the deciding impact on the entire world. And if he has that perspective, that the Nit Zain came Doim Vikr Shield, you won't be an inanimate, motionless sign, Vasmirzich Nit von Art, which doesn't move out of its place, nor Vit Zain a Lebedikr Shield, but rather you'll be a dynamic sign. You'll be a dynamic billboard. You'll go out and you'll run with great life force. Because perhaps through your engagement, you'll impact another Jew, and thereby you will decide the fate of the entire world. In the place that he sent, he should run around everywhere. And find Jews and explain to them, as there is a shakel, that where you're standing in a place of equilibrium. And yet the matziv in velcher gefinzich is there a shakel. Wherever you are, you're standing in a place of equilibrium. Even if you're a great sinner, it's still possible to return to Hashem. Omit ein pola, and with one act, in ein shah, in one moment, a person is able to decide their fate and decide their fate for the good. For the Tzveter Zayit, on the other hand, Veter Mazber Zayit need to explain that if Revisten has met Ein Pula, Kenner Machriya Zayin Gansin Matziv in the Umaz HaChas V'Shol, you're able to decide your fate in a negative direction. Mitzad der Bechira Chofshis, Vos is Im Gigeben Givarn, given your free will, you're able to choose evil. The Mela that for Hittin. Therefore, one should be careful. Tondas vaserfirtsu chayim v'toiv. To do that which will lead him in the direction of life and goodness. When er the Talmud, v'tim yidin vaizin diveg fun uvachart v'chayim. And the yeshiva student who's on this mission should show the person who he encounters the way to the path of life. In the next three oisias of the Sicha, the Rebbe is going to address the somewhat common phenomenon of Bachrim traveling on Merkish Lichis or Mivtsoyim, which is going out into the street and asking people if they're Jewish, and trying to have some sort of impact on people's Jewish lives, and seemingly having no impact. If they've seemingly had no impact, was their mission a waste? The Rebbe is going to explain why it's not. The Rebbe says, Thran is Elich of Azmenin, there are those who think, as a tun garnish oif, they're not accomplishing anything by going out and trying to spread Judaism. Is be'emes giret nit das is kevea tzitun yoif tzine. The fact that they accomplished something or didn't accomplish something practically is not that which decides whether or not the mission was a worthwhile mission. Der din by bir chometzes, and here the Rebbe brings a analogy from halacha. The rule by burning chometzes. As when men is bide chametz, when you check for chametz, zuchman ibiral tzias is the chametz. You look all around and see if there's chametz around. Is afilo if men gefint nit kin chametz, And even if you don't find any chametz, is the bracha bracha. The bracha you made, al b'dikas chametz or al bir chametz, is still a good bracha. Eret kiton v'ser likt oifim. You did that which you're responsible to do. Hagam as er hot l'chir gornishev kiton. Although it would seem that you didn't accomplish anything. Hotem rekam given the mitzvah tikuna. Nonetheless, you've done the mitzvah as it's meant to be done. Midvos su beriminzi, chotter takenit. You don't have anything to brag about. Erzev given a ganze nacht. Nit gelernt die nacht, nit geschlafen. You're up all night, you didn't learn, you didn't sleep. Ibigreit die hois, und hat erst garnet aufgetan. You turned over the whole house and you didn't accomplish anything. As in you didn't find any chametz. Aber die mitzvah, was is licht auf ihn, hat er mekaim given. But the mitzvah, which you're meant to do, the mitzvah which is incumbent upon you, you did fulfill. And so it is when it comes to the spiritual search for chametz. The bachrim who travel on shlichus and they don't meet anybody, so they think they didn't accomplish anything. Erot verbracht. You spent all your time in an uninhabited place, a place where there's no Torah Judaism. Nor er gets in mitten veg, standing somewhere in the middle of the way, if a parsha's drachim on a crossroads, an art from Mikendartin gain Lincoln's Zayat Chas Hashalom, and a place which offers the opportunity to go to the left, a place which offers an opportunity to travel down a negative path. And after all of this, he didn't accomplish anything. And he doesn't even have anything to brag about. But that which is incumbent upon him, he did. And the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Meaning that mitzvahs have intrinsic value. And the Hasidic explanation is that mitzvah comes from the Aramaic word tzavsa, which means connection. That by merely doing the mitzvah, you achieve a connection with Hashem. Nachmer, moreover, although it's the case that you don't think you've accomplished anything, and you're down about yourself, and when you come back home from your trip, people might even laugh at you for having not accomplished anything. Is oyser dem vos, but nonetheless, wie gesagt, is the ikker der ton. He did the main thing. You did in fact do what you were meant to do, but you're just not aware of what you accomplished. Like the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe of Lubavitch, would often repeat in the name of his father, the fifth Rebbe. The rule is that effort will never return empty-handed. Meaning that if you invest effort in something, it will necessarily have an impact. Now the Rebbe explores one clear impact of the mere act of going out as a Hasidic Jew to a faraway place and attempting to spread Judaism, even if you didn't come into contact with anyone, even if you didn't have any meaningful conversations upon film with anyone. Einer von die Oiftuin, was er hat Oiftuin is, one of the things that you accomplished is, oiser dem, was man geht, Alderman life than a shlichas mitzvah. From the fact that you go or run to do a shlichas mitzvah, to do a mitzvah mission, you elevate the stones, you elevate the sidewalk, you elevate the pavement which you walked upon. And everywhere you walk, you purify the air. That's, however, an impact which you don't see. And it's all something that you don't write down in your report of what you accomplished in your shlichus. Aber erdil doch epis eftan in their shlichus was man hatim geshik lekayv limshikstrol laviyim shemashemayim. But you do really want to accomplish something in terms of bringing people closer to their Father in heaven. Is be emes otren dem inyan oichoyf ketan. And the fact is, the Rebbe says, that by going out on shlichus, even if you didn't have any conversations, you accomplish something there as well. When at the time that a Jew sits at home, and sees out the window, that there is a bacher, a young yeshiva student with a beard, walking outside of his window. Der Monter sich, as ein Tata to euch azoi ois gekocht. He remembers that his father, or maybe his grandfather, also looked that way. Und as sein Vater hat ihm angesagt, and his father, his grandfather, taught him, alle Tag, every day, aufstehen dich in der Früh, when you get up in the morning, sollst du sagen, moide ani. You should say moide ani. Und gehen dich schlafen, when you go to sleep, sollst du sagen, Shema Yisrael. You should say Shema Yisrael. Und der Eis meise, chazet der Iber, der was der Mann sich. In sein Machshava der Dibur. Den Pasuk Shema Yisrael, moide ani, und er steht in der Cyrus. And so at the time that this secular Jew, or this Jew who went far away from the Jewish tradition, sees this bacher with a beard, he remembers Meida Ani and Shema Yisrael. And even if he doesn't verbalize Meida Ani or Shema Yisrael, he thinks about Meida Ani and Shema Yisrael, and that wakes him up just a little bit. And then imagine that you have this bacher, this yeshiva bacher, who went to the faraway city to try and share Judaism, and he didn't have any conversations with anyone. But he set up a stand, and he was trying to sell Jewish books. As is kumt akindahim, a Jewish child, a secularized Jewish child, might come home und erzählt, dass hat gesehen, ein Bacher mit einem Bord, verkaufen dich talks and tales. He mentioned, this child mentions to his parents, that he saw a young yeshiva student with a beard selling Jewish books. At the time, the Bacherim who would go out would sell these books, talks and tales, which were Hasidic stories edited by the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe of Chabad. Aber hat sich nicht gelassen. But the child didn't stick around to buy the books. Is when there tzelt da sein tate, zi sein mamen, when the child tells us to his father or mother, their mon in zeizich, v'shas meisev zeir elter. They remember when they hear the story from their child about their parents or their grandparents. U'v'shayt echad v'rigachad da, and that memory might impact them and bring them closer to the tradition just in a moment. Aliv nishper v'nidke darfer taka hobin v'zayne pula zayne nitkein ongezene. A person, this bacher who went out on shlichus and didn't have any conversations with anyone, he should in fact be upset that he didn't have any distinguishable results, no results that he can speak about, no results that he can discern. V'rom oiber volt zoiche given, because if he had merited, or perhaps if he had put in a little bit more effort, volt or oifgetan ptimis de kepulis, he would have actually had conversations with people, he would have had an impact upon people, he would have internally impacted people instead of just impacting them by his very presence. Aber zogin azer had garnished eifketan, but to say that he didn't accomplish anything, keminit, that we can't say. From dos alein, was matkezen azes fort arum abacher mit abord. The very fact that secularized Jews, or Jews who become distant from the tradition, see a young man, a young Jewish man, going around with a beard, the very fact they see a stylized, paradigmatic, classical Jew, that awakens Jews to Judaism. This alone, that they saw this young Jewish man, accomplishes something, even if it's less discernible. The Rebbe closed the sicha by showing how the very fact that you're a Jew with a beard, as in, that you're a Jew who looks and acts like a traditional Jew, or like the typical traditional Jew, has a tremendous impact on bringing people back to the Jewish tradition. A younger man, a young married man from the Tmimim, who had learnt in Lubavitch Yeshivas, had mirdir tzelt. He told me, says the Rebbe, as a conservative rabbi, that a conservative rabbi is given da amol to a Chassidic Verbringen. This conservative rabbi once came to a Chassidic Verbringen. Came Chassid is a nit givarn. He didn't become a Chassidic Jew. Aber. As in Gefallen Gevorin, und as Hobanim Farinterstiert Chassidim. But he was a little bit impacted by the Sorbengen, and he became interested by the Chassidim. The rabbi is a teacher, it's a principal in a school. The rabbi was either a teacher or a principal in some school. As if you're a darf doch, they're tailing the kind of Sipurim, so Farinterstiert and they. And since you have to tell kids stories that will interest them, he told the children of the conservative day school that there are a group of Jews who are called Chassidim. And he would tell them their various practices. He told the children the Hasidic practices. They learn Tfarin Davenin, they study before praying, they're Noch Davenin, they lang, they then pray for a long time. Nachir Haben Ze Shurim, was they learning, and then they study Torah. When Ersh Ternach, and only after that entire process, drinking the juice. Do they have their juice? Do they have their breakfast? The kinder haben das alt ausgehört. The children heard all this. Ungefragt sie das seinen Menschen was sein gewann amol. And they asked if these people who he's describing, these Hasidic Jews, are people who lived once, other in Europe, or perhaps they lived in Europe. Hatter sie geantwortet, als sie seinen Freien euch itzter, und in America. He said, no, such people exist. Hasidim exist. Hasidic Jews exist, even now, and even in America. The kinder haben gesagt, the children at this conservative day school said, as a gleibenit, they said they do not believe their teacher. As kennet sein, as heint in America, as on sich gefinnen, as Elcha mentioned. And we're speaking once again in the 50s, in the 1950s, these conservative children said they could not believe that there are such people who exist now in America. They can't believe that people exist outside of a history book who look this way. Their rabbi, this conservative rabbi, hat angeben suchen etzes, the zu bashtetken die meise in die Eugen von die Kinder. The rabbi tried to figure out ways in which he could confirm, verify his story in the eyes of the children. Bizrat zich der mont ev zeinem bekanten. Until he remembered that he had an acquaintance. Ach siddish younger man, a young chassidic man. Thus the younger man was at mir the tzelt the meise. And this is the young man who told me the story, says the rabbi. Is there two gefahren zu him? So the conservative rabbi traveled to his Hasidic friend. There were no smartphones then, so he had to meet up with him. He told him the ganze Sach. He told him the whole story. Und hat gebeten, soll kommen zu him in school. And he asked him, maybe he could come visit him at the school. Darf dort in gar nicht tun. He told his Hasidic friend, the conservative rabbi said, you don't have to do anything there. Darf sich nur weisen. You just need to show up. The younger man at masking him, so the young Hasidic man agreed. When the younger man is right in school, when the young Hasidic man entered the conservative day school, a younger man with a grace of beard, a young Jewish man with a long beard, hat sich abgerufen der rabbi zu die Kinder. The rabbi called in the students. Ihr gedenkt, als ich hab echt erzählt am meisten wegen Chassidim. The conservative rabbi asked the students, do you remember that I once told you a story about the Hasidic Jews? Und ihr habt nicht geglaubt, and you didn't believe me. Guckt, look, at the younger man, was ist jetzt der Rein, this young man who just entered the school, is einer von den Chassidim. He is one of those Chassidim. Die Kinder haben ihn betracht. So the students study this young man. Wie guckt euch, the way he looked, mit seinen Bord, und sein Weiter, with his beard and all of his other Hasidic trappings. Und haben ihn gefragt, zieh er als Chassid. They asked him, are you a Chassid? Azerat Zegen. For if ja, so he said, yeah, I am a chassid. Haben sie bei ihm angeheben gefragen sich wegen der Anagos von Chassidim. And they began to ask him about the various practices of the Hasidic Jews. Bei Tag haben das die Kinder erzählt, the spilos bei sich in the Himen. And later that day, the children excitedly told their parents about this Hasidic Jew. Und haben angeheben schauen, schelles die Eltern, v'chule, v'chule. And they began to ask their parents about Judaism and the Jewish tradition. So this is a very fascinating historical tale from the 40s and 50s, but the point the Rebbe is trying to bring out is that the mere fact that you look like a traditional Jew, the mere fact that you look like a classical Jew impacts other Jewish people who are less traditional, who are less connected, and very often, or in some cases, it might lead them to return to their roots or more deeply connect to their roots. Let's summarize. This sicha talks about the idea of ori miklat, cities of refuge. Historically, and in Jewish law, an ir miklat is a place to which a murderer, whether somebody who killed intentionally or killed unintentionally, would run away in order that they could be safe until, if they were an intentional murderer, until they could be brought to justice by the court system as opposed to by some vigilante, or if they killed unintentionally, they'd be able to be safe from any angry or upset relatives. The Rebbe explains that when it comes to our concepts, on a certain level, what's more primary is the spiritual meaning of the Torah concept and not just the mere law. So what's the spiritual idea of an ir miklat, of a city of refuge? The idea is that each of us has a blood avenger, someone running after us trying to kill us. And who's that? That's the Yetzer Hara. That's our evil inclination. Our evil inclination is trying to convince us to do this bad thing, that bad thing, and ultimately lead us to a place of destruction, both in our current lives and in the afterlife. The Gemara in Makkos tells us that Torah is an ir miklat. Divrei Torah Kolten.
The words of Torah are a refuge, meaning to say that if we engage in Torah study and a Torah lifestyle, that can lift us up above the Yetzirah, above the evil inclination, and it can also help us rectify the sins that we did in the past and the destructive behavior patterns that we were enmeshed in the past. So that's the core symbolism of the Ir Miklat of the City of Refuge. But the Rebbe goes further. The Rebbe says that every halachic detail of the physical Ir Miklat, of the physical City of Refuge, has a spiritual analog. The Rebbe focuses on the detail which is discussed in the Gemara in Bava Basra and brought by the Rambam, which says that on the pasuk Tochin Lecha Aderech, you should prepare yourself the way. So the Gemara of Bava Basra there interprets that the Bezdin, that the rabbinic court and the Jewish state, was under the obligation to prepare good and wide roads in order that the person who needed to go to the City of Refuge would be able to get there quickly, easily, and safely. And furthermore, there needed to be signposts, there needed to be signs on the road which pointed in the direction of the City of Refuge. And those signposts would say, Miklat, Miklat, Refuge, Refuge. So what does this symbolize spiritually? The Rebbe says that each of us needs to walk along the path to the City of Refuge, to the Torah. But very often, we're not sure where to go. We're not sure what action to take. So the Rebbe tells us that proverbially speaking, Hashem is standing there, or Hashem is within our lives and crying out to us, Miklat, Miklat, Refuge, Refuge. That if we listen carefully, we can hear the divine intuition in our hearts pointing us towards the path of good behavior, pointing us towards the path of Torah, pointing us towards the path of life. But the Rebbe says there's often a lot of interference. There's often a lot of noise which cancels out or which distracts us from hearing the divine voice within, which points us in the direction of the Torah, which points us in the direction of the spiritual City of Refuge. So what can you do to address that interference? So here, the Rebbe quotes the famous Maimer Chazal, the rabbinic saying which is brought in Maseches Sota at great length, which says, Mida keneged mida. Hashem behaves towards us in the way that we behave towards others. So the Rebbe recommends that each of us be a signpost. Each of us try and instantiate. Each of us try and be a person who manifests Torah ideals, who manifests divine ideals, and who points others in the direction of the Torah, points others in the direction of good behavior. Of course, not in a judgmental way, not in a preachy way, but in a positive way, in an illuminating way. The Rebbe then discusses at length the concept of Merkish Lichus, which is and was Chabad Yeshiva Bachrim going out to places all around the United States and later all around the world to share Judaism with Jews who had fallen far from classical Judaism. The Rebbe says that this is a great example of a person going out to the crossroads, the proverbial road between good and evil, and crying out, Miklat, Miklat, Refuge, Refuge. But you don't have to be a yeshiva bacher who's going out to some far-off location. Wherever you are, whether you're in your hometown, whether you're at your job, wherever it may be, you can be a person whose whole being cries out, Miklat, Miklat, Refuge, Refuge. You can be a person who reflects Torah values in a way that people want to get involved with them, in a way that people will be inspired by you just by seeing you. Now, of course, the Rebbe says it's much better to be a person who doesn't merely inspire by people seeing them, but a person who creates meaningful relationships with others and is able to thereby gently bring them onto the right path. But even if you do not create those meaningful relationships, just by being who you are, if you are a signpost, if you are a billboard in the direction of positivity, then the Rebbe says Hashem will respond in kind. And he will signpost for you, and he will lead you in the direction of positivity and a good life.